The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Advent is from Malachi chapter 3. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way of the Lord before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be swift, a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired worker in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, against those who thrust aside the sojourner, and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Philippians chapter 1. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. This is the word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the third chapter. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea, and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And he said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, what then shall we do? He answered them, whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise. Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than you are authorized to do. Soldiers also asked him, and we, what shall we do? And he said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages." As the people were in expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, saying, "I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. But Herod, the tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, that he locked up John in prison. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we're already now in the second week of Advent. Two candles are lit on our Advent wreath. As we prepare ourselves, as we get ready to celebrate the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ with great joy and great excitement, this morning it's important for us to remember that Advent is still a penitential season. It is a season of repentance and patience. In the season of Advent, we are reminded why Jesus had to come. Why the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Son of God, descended from his throne on high and became a man. Why he placed himself under the law in order to fulfill it in our place. And why he suffered and shed his blood to fulfill all righteousness and to propitiate the Father's wrath against our sin. Why is it necessary that Jesus comes to redeem us? You see, without a proper awareness or a proper diagnosis of the disease, the cure can easily be set aside. It can easily be unused or underappreciated. And then, like many Bibles in our home, it can be left sitting on the shelf collecting dust. Have you ever had a funky smell in your house? Something that's just, maybe you get home from a week's vacation or something, and something's just rotten. Either in the fridge or in the garbage, something stinks. Well, have you had that same funky smell in your house, but you never realized it? Because you become so nose blind to it. Your nose has grown accustomed to the smell that you no longer notice it. But then, hypothetically, of course, then let's say maybe your brother decides to stop in. He pops in, he opens the door, takes one whiff. Oh, he tells you the truth. It stinks in here. Has that ever happened to you? Just me? Good to know. Well, that is a lot like what sin can do in our lives. We can become so tolerant of sin, so used to it, that we no longer even recognize it. Sometimes we need someone to pop in and say, "Hey, something smells in here." So if some sin was gaining a foothold in your life, wouldn't you want someone to love you enough, like my dear brother, to love you enough to tell you the truth? Someone who cares enough to set aside all of the politeness and the pleasantries and the sensitive, inoffensive language and just come right out and tell you, "Hey, there's something going on here and it's not right. This is sin, what you are doing." And whatever that sin might be, somebody's got to be man enough to come and tell you this. This is sin. You need to stop. You need to repent. You need to receive forgiveness for that and strive not to do that anymore. Well, enter the Lord's sent preacher. Enter John the Baptist. John the Baptist is considered the last of the Old Testament prophets, not because he so boldly and bluntly preached repentance of sin, any and all of God's preachers should preach just the same way. But it's because he is the last preacher to point forward to the Messiah who is yet to come, the promised Messiah, the one who is mightier than he is, whose strap of sandals he's not even worthy to bend down and untie. So John is the fulfillment of God's promise. Long ago in Malachi 3, we read that, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me." And our gospel reading makes that point abundantly clear as well. As it is written in the words of Isaiah, the prophet, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill will be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh will see the salvation of God." So, how was John, God's promised sent one, how was he going to prepare the way for the Lord? Well, also in Malachi 3, the Lord says that he will come, and when he comes, he will be like a refiner's fire, that he will be like a fuller's soap, which is a natural lye, a very powerful cleaning agent. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver. And then he will draw near to you for judgment, it says. And he will be swift, a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired workers and his wages, and those who oppress the widows and the fatherless, against those who set aside the sojourner or the visitor in foreigner in your land, and those who do not fear him. So when the Lord comes, you do not want to be a stench in his nostrils. You do not want to be amongst the sorcerers, amongst the adulterers, false swearers, the oppressors, those who thrust aside the sojourner, and those who do not fear the Lord. No, you'd much rather be against or be with or amongst the children of Jacob, who in Malachi 3, the Lord says, they will not be consumed, they will be saved. So how was John to prepare the way of the Lord? He prepared the way of the Lord. He prepared the Lord's coming by calling people to repentance. That was his message. In Matthew 3, verse 2, we hear, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." That's what he came preaching. And then pointing them to their only hope, the Lord who came in the flesh to save them. In John chapter 1, 29, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John the Baptist, he sets aside all of the politeness, all of the pleasantries, all of the sensitive, inoffensive language. In other words, there were no safe spaces when John was in town. You couldn't just lay down and cuddle up with your teddy bear. You had to listen to his words. And he told the Lord's words as it truly is. "You brood of vipers," he says, "who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' for I tell you, God is able to make these stones raise up as children of God if he so chooses. Even now the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Every tree that does not bear fruit, therefore, is cut down and thrown into the fire." You see, many of the Israelites believed that just because they were physical descendants of Abraham, that they would be saved. So never mind the fact that they didn't quite fear the Lord as they should. They didn't quite believe as they should. Never mind that perhaps they were cheating a bit on their taxes, sending their taxes to Rome. Maybe they sprinkled in a little bit of sorcery, worshiping of false gods here and there. Maybe they had a little bit of adultery, no big deal. Dehumanizing their fellow human beings, treating them as if they're mere objects to gratify their fleshly desires. or swearing falsely, that is, lying about others for their own gain, probably to make themselves look good or to extort money from them, oppressing others, taking advantage of their positions that God has placed them in for their own gain, disdaining the widows and the orphans and those who are unable to speak for themselves, or thrusting aside the sojourner, the visitor, and just generally looking down on other people. But the thing is, those are real sins. Those are real, actual sins. And those real, actual sins are really the fruit that comes from a corrupt tree. They stem from a false faith. If you believe falsely, your life and your actions will bear that out. I'll say that again. If you believe falsely, your actions and your life will bear that out. So notice there's a progression in our gospel reading, an order to our gospel reading. Verse 3 says, John went to all the regions around the Jordan proclaiming the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Baptism of repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Stop doing that which is sinful and fear the Lord. Repent. For the forgiveness of sins, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Turn to Christ and receive forgiveness for all of your sins. And then the repentant, those baptized now believers in Christ, the forgiven children of God turn to John and say, what do we do? What are we to do? He says, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. John answered them, whoever has two tunics, share. Share with those who have none. Likewise, with the food that you have, share with those who have none. Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, teacher, what shall we do? He said to them, collect no more than you are authorized to do. Soldiers also came, what shall we do? He said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages. What shall we do, dear Christians? God's response, spoken through his servant, spoken through his prophet, John the Baptist, is surprisingly simple. Repent, be baptized, receive the forgiveness of sins. What shall we do? Do your job. Do it honestly. Do it lovingly. Serve and care for others in the various vocations that the Lord has placed you in. How are we Christians 2,000 years later supposed to be ready and prepared for our Lord's coming? When he comes at Christmas as the babe in the manger, when he comes here in his word and in his sacrament, and preparing also for his final coming when he returns in judgment. Well, John the Baptist may have been the last of the Old Testament prophets, but what he was preaching, the word that he was preaching, it was only a matter of timing with John. John is pointing forward to the Christ who is yet to come. Today, we hear the same message about the one who has already come and accomplished all things. It's the same message, then, that you and I need to hear today. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That rotten, stinking, sinful flesh has been drowned in the waters of holy baptism. You're washed clean. The soap has cleaned you. You are refined by fire. You are forgiven in Jesus Christ. You are covered in Christ's life, his death, and his resurrection. The stench of your sin has been completely removed from you. Your Savior took it, he nailed it to the cross, and he took it with him into the grave, into the tomb, and he rose from the dead, leaving that stench there forever, gone, removed from you. This is why our Lord came. So now, fresh and clean in Jesus Christ, What shall we do? Love and serve one another. Approve what is excellent, as it says in our epistle reading, and so that you may be pure and blameless on that day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So next week, we will celebrate the third Sunday in Advent, and we will pick up with John once again, but this time we will pick up with John in his prison cell because he spoke the truth so bluntly, even to the king, he will be imprisoned, and we will pick up with him next week in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.